Hi, I'm Niamh Cassidy, ex-social care worker turned parent educator and IBCLC. When I started out, I struggled to get clients and to gain visibility. I knew I was good at my work and that I could truly help people, but I didn't know how to get that message out or to get clients in. Marketing and selling felt icky and not what I was about, and what I did try rarely worked anyway. I bought trainings, joined memberships, worked with mentors, but it often felt like they didn't really understand what it is that we do and the importance of being ethical and authentic. So I set out on a mission to learn, experiment, and develop ways I could share my message, support my clients, make a consistent income, and feel good about it. Today, I run a successful private practice, and I want to help you to do the same. Welcome back to the Pregnancy and Postnatal Entrepreneurs Collective podcast. I'm excited today because in this episode, we are going to talk about email lists. So many people doing our work don't have one or have a small one and don't use it. My goal is to change that. We'll talk about why you need an email list, how to build one, and how to make it work for your business. So let's get started. So why do you need an email list? In order to grow your practice from where it is now, a vital element is a strong and engaged email list. Having a strong social media presence is helpful, but it's rented ground. You own your email list. Let me unpack that a little bit more. How many business owners do you know who have lost their social media accounts to hackers and the platform has been unhelpful to them in getting it back? How many posts do you see weekly about people worrying about the algorithm or whose posts are not getting the traction they used to? Social media is powerful, but you have little control over it. We are handmaidens to the algorithm and there isn't much we can do about it. Whereas with email, we have much more control. We have the opportunity to land into someone's very own private inbox. We don't have to hope that they stop scrolling or that we even show up in their feed at all. We are right there. Emails generate better results than most marketing channels. Among marketing channels, email marketing gets the highest return on investment. It also has the highest conversion rate for promotional messages. The return on investment isn't just financial though, it's time too. Social media promotions can take a lot more time and energy than email. When you have an engaged email list, you have a way to speak directly with your prospective clients, to serve them and to let them know what you offer. An email list also gives you the opportunity to create relationships with potential clients, so that they will know who you are when the time comes for them to make a decision about hiring a doula, lactation consultant, or booking into a pregnancy or postnatal class. So now we know why we need an email list, how do we get started about building one? Let's take a look at some tips and strategies that will help you develop an effective email list that builds your business. The first thing you'll need is an email management program. It's not a good idea to run your list from a regular email account, as you can't provide the required unsubscribe buttons. There are many common platforms such as MailChimp, MailerLite, ConvertKit, and many, many more. Most platforms have free options for people starting out. You'll use your email platform to collect email addresses, design your emails, and to send them out. I started with MailChimp, but I've heard that MailerLite has better free and budget functionality. Once you have your email service provider sorted, you can start building your list. Probably the most used way of attempting to build an email list is an opt-in pop-up form on your website. You'll be used to seeing these and closing them down on many websites. If using pop-ups, they should add value, like promoting a discount or a freebie, rather than a generic, sign up to my newsletter. When was the last time you actually signed up to one of those? Pop-up forms that are irrelevant or generic are going to annoy your audience. A poor user experience with pop-ups will most likely cause them to close the form or worse, cause them to leave your website altogether. That said, a good pop-up can have a conversion rate, that means how many people sign up compared to how many people saw it, of up to 11%. That's actually huge. So here's a few tips for creating good pop-ups. 1. Be careful about the pop-up timing. Give people time to read and absorb some of your content before a pop-up form triggers on the page. If people took time to visit one of your blog posts or landing pages, they probably have an interest in your content. Let them start finding value in your content first. They'll be more inclined to take action when presented with a pop-up then. 2. Stay away from condescending or overly negative or fearful language. There's nothing wrong with making your desired course of action sound good to your audience. But be careful about how you phrase things. Don't go all bro marketing in trying to make them feel bad or scared if they don't sign up. Bad examples would be, sign up to my breastfeeding basics guide or risk failing at feeding your baby. Okay, I know that's a bit extreme, but you get the idea. Some companies go a little bit too far in making the opt-out sound like a bad decision, and we don't want to be guilting parents into working with us. Don't turn off your audience by insulting or scaring them. A better way to get a similar point across might be, unfortunately, many people who want to breastfeed run into challenges in the early days. My breastfeeding basics guide can give you the information and tools to help you avoid common pitfalls. Can you see the difference? Number three, don't make it too difficult to close the pop-up. Please respect people's decisions if they choose not to engage with your pop-up form. You've probably seen pop-up forms with small close buttons or buttons that are almost the same color as the form or buttons that you can't even find. This can be so annoying for your users and is considered bad practice. I know it really annoys me when I'm on a website and I can't find the pop-up close because I want to actually read the content. So a lot of time I'll actually just leave. So make it easy for people to close the pop-up form if that's what they want to do. It's better for someone to exit out of the pop-up and not sign up than to leave your site completely annoyed and frustrated. Four, provide an offer users can't ignore. When people get interrupted, they generally want the interruption to be worth it. If your call to action isn't strong and compelling, why did you have to bother them in the first place? Your pop-up form should provide an offer that is valuable and actionable to the audience you are targeting. A discount on the services, or offer a free introductory consult, or a free guide, any of these can work well. Be strategic about the design and content of your form to show that, despite the interruption, you have something worthwhile to offer your audience. 5. Include only necessary form fields. The highest converting pop-up forms have only two form fields. Adding in additional fields makes conversion rates drop significantly. To maximize the chances of collecting an individual's information, stick with minimal form fields that only request essential data. In most cases, you'll only need their first name and their email address. If you're in the EU, you'll also need to provide an opt-in box for GDPR compliance. Okay, so that's website pop-ups. How else do we get people to sign up for our lists? I alluded to some things already when I mentioned free guides. These are often called lead magnets, something that draws a prospective client to your email list, something they want and you offer for free in exchange for their email address. Creating a good lead magnet requires careful thought and planning. You need something that will interest potential customers enough to sign up, but also provide useful information they can use when making their decisions about whether or not to work with you or buy your services. Hopefully these ideas will help you create something unique and special that stands out from the rest. Some examples might be a free guide to breastfeeding, labor positions, caring for your newborn, or a guide containing everything a new or expecting parent needs to know when searching for a doula, childbirth class, yoga class. Include tips on how to find the right person, what questions to ask before booking, and other useful information that will help make their search easier. Another example might be to provide an ebook on any topic that your audience might be interested in, to run a free webinar, or to do a checklist. Checklist examples might be what to pack in your hospital bag or essential baby equipment. Really, the potential is endless. You can be as creative as you wish. My first lead magnet was downloadable birth affirmations, which has done okay, but my highest converting one to date was a hospital bag checklist. Easy peasy. Once your lead magnet is ready, then you have to let people know it's available. Social media does work very well for this. At least once a week, you should be pointing people towards your lead magnet or magnets. You could also ask your existing list, once you have one, to share the links with others who might be interested. So once you've created your lead magnet, what next? How do we actually get the thing to the people? You need to set up a landing page on your email management system. Once you create this landing page, you will share the link so that prospective clients can enter their details. From the landing page, you set up an automation so that the link to the download or the webinar registration is automatically sent to the person who signs up. You can use Google Drive or similar to host your freebies. Trust me, this is a lot easier than it sounds, and your chosen email service provider platform will have guides on how to do it. So don't get bogged down in the details, just give it a go. Outside of social media and your website, you can even use printed materials like business cards or flyers as invitations to join your email list by adding QR codes with links directly to your sign-up pages or your landing pages. This works really well if you're attending fairs or events where you can give out leaflets or you are giving a talk and you can put a QR code on your slides. So you've created your email list, you have people signed up. What do you do with them now? As mentioned before, having an email list is essential for growth. You can reach out to your audience, keep them informed of updates, and promote your products and services. However, just having an email list isn't enough. To get the most out of it, you need to nurture your email list over time. Nurturing your email list means gradually building relationships with the people on it. This kind of relationship building takes time and effort, but it's well worth the investment because it helps you build trust with your contacts, encourages them to stay engaged with your content, and strengthens their loyalty to you as a service provider. The key to nurturing your email list is being consistent. You want to make sure that you're reaching out frequently enough so that people don't forget about you or unsubscribe from your emails, but not so often that they get overwhelmed or annoyed by the volume of messages. Aim for sending out at least one newsletter a month, although weekly would be better as it will help your list get to know you and build that know, like, and trust factor. Your regular emails should provide valuable content. This might be your new blog, your new podcast episode or YouTube video, or the link to an Instagram live you did. You can also send more personal emails on your thoughts on certain topics in the news or something that's going on in your life, but make sure it's something that is relevant for your audience. You include things like informative articles related to your industry, tips on how customers can best take advantage of what you have to offer, surveys they can fill out and give you feedback, relevant videos or podcasts they might be interested in. Not only will this help maintain reader engagement levels over time, but it'll also give recipients access to more useful information beyond what they might find elsewhere. But also, don't forget to include emails that are solely promoting your services and some emails with helpful content and something about your offerings as well. In order for any strategy surrounding nurturing an email list to be a success, consistency is essential, as is regular experimentation and analysis. So don't just send them out, have a look and see what's working too. By taking these steps and putting a little extra effort in into honing your email campaigns, you're setting yourself up for success down the line and strengthening customer loyalty like you never did before. I really hope you found this episode helpful. I'd love to hear about your experiences or questions. Feel free to DM me on Instagram at the Pregnancy and Postnatal Collective, or to join our Facebook group and we can chat some more in there. You'll find the links in the show notes. So until next time, keep being awesome and doing all of the amazing work that you do.